Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Terrell breaks a tackle. He's got it. There it is. Terrell Davis is mobbed by his teammates on the sideline. He has just become only the fourth player in NFL history to go over 2,000 yards in a single season.
We are very happy to be joined by our next guest. He is one of the greatest running backs in the history of the league. Two-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, was the NFL MVP in 1998 and a two-time Offensive Player of the Year. He also is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We're very happy to be joined by Terrell Davis on today's show. Terrell, man, really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. It's a good week. I mean, you know, the rivalry is real, and man, looking forward to this game on Sunday night. So, you know, this is a season defining game for the Broncos, and we'll see how it goes down. But people here in Denver are pretty excited about this game.
People here in Kansas City are excited about it too. I want to get to the game coming up in a little bit, but so earlier this week we had on the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, and we asked him who does he consider to be the Chiefs' bigger rival. Is it the Broncos or the Raiders? We'll ask you, who do you consider to be the Broncos' biggest rival? Do you consider it to be the Raiders or Kansas City?
Probably the Raiders. And not for the reasons that you might think in terms of, like, you know, competitive, you know, games. It's just, I think it's just a deep hatred. You know, I don't think there's any other team in the National Football League outside, and even whether it's in division or not, that Bronco country hates more than Raider Nation. I mean, so, and then, you know, you go to the games, and you guys heard the same stories, I'm sure, you know, about, you know, the fan base and when they were in the Oakland and how, as a player, I just hated to play there, man, because it was, you know, physically, you're getting things thrown at you during the game, things thrown at you, you know, whether it's before the game on the sideline. And They just have a fan base that you just kind of love to hate. And then, of course, when I was in Denver, remember, Mike Shanahan, who had played, actually coached for the Raiders, hated the Raiders. And so he made it seem like that week we played the Raiders, it was like playing in a Super Bowl, man. Like, there was a lot of pressure to win that game. When I played in Denver, we were fortunate to have beaten the Raiders pretty frequently. I think I lost to them maybe twice in the 7-8 years that I played. From a competitive standpoint, I think Kansas City has always been a tough place, not only to play, but to play the Chiefs, whether they're playing in Mile High Stadium or playing them there. That was always one on the calendar where you're like, damn, you know, that's going to be one of those blue, you know, with a knuckle games where you got to go in there and just fight your ass off just to, you know, to win that game. So, yeah, kind of two points of views, I guess.
It's funny you say that about Shanahan and how he sort of passed down that hatred for the Raiders, that Kansas City has a very similar story with Marty Schottenheimer in the 90s. It just seems like it doesn't matter what team you cheer for, everybody hates the Raiders.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, that's it. They're the team that we all love to hate. You know, Raider Nation. Man, that's funny, but my family, well, at least my wife's family, most of her family a Raider fan. And so I'm having to deal with that to this day, you know. I love them, though. I don't hate them. But we still have a kind of friendly wager every time we play, and it's always fun, though, to dig into them when the Raiders aren't doing well, you know. So hopefully they don't do well this year.
And I hope that every single year. Right now we're talking to Terrell Davis, one of the best running backs in the history of the league, played for the Denver Broncos, getting you ready for Sunday Night Football. So you are one of the few people that obviously played in the division against Kansas City. You also played a playoff game on the road at Arrowhead against Kansas City. Whenever you think of traveling on the road and playing at Kansas City, what memories first come to your mind?
Man, it's kind of, which is weird, it's kind of twofold. I hated playing there because it's just a difficult place to play. You know, not only from the fan standpoint, the atmosphere is intense, man. You know, as soon as you pull up, you see just a parking lot full of red, man. It's just like you're going to a Nebraska game. So it's got a real, you know, cool kind of college feel to it with fan base. But they were just playing differently in that building, man. It was like you walk in there, it was like, you know, you didn't stand a chance. It just felt like their energy level was just so much more when they played there. And we would have to fight that going there, and it was just tough to play. You know, I believe I didn't – the first couple of times I played the Chiefs, they beat us. And we finally broke through. Our first win in Kansas City was a playoff game. You know, we had played the Chiefs later that year, and we lost by a field goal. And it actually gave us confidence that we can at least play with them during that year. That was in 97. And when we came back in the playoffs, it was another, you know, tight game, and we eventually won it. But, you know, it was just a tough place to play, man. So, yeah, you know, that's not one I circle on the calendar that I'm excited to go play, to be honest with you. So that was the deal. But we knew we had to, you know, we knew we had to go into that building and fight, man. But, yeah, the Chiefs are always tough to beat at home.
You got to go up against those very respected, tough defenses of the Chiefs in the 90s. Derek Thomas was still playing when you were in the league. Neil Smith was still here. Obviously, he joined you later in his career. What was it like going up against some of those Chiefs defenses that everybody remembers so fondly?
That was it. You just talked about it. You know, you guys, I got like Donnie Edwards was there, young Donnie Edwards. You know, it was one of those things that you just knew. And we were okay with that because we didn't mind getting into a street fight. But that's what we, you know, going to Kansas City, you know, some stadiums you go to, you play a game, you kind of know, all right, we can go in there, we can kind of bully this team. You weren't going to bully the Chiefs. It just wasn't going to happen. And so you had to just be really prepared to go in there and fight. And it was going to be a game that's going to be four quarters. It was going to be those snot knocker type games. It was just going to be one of those games that you played in, and we had to be up for the challenge, and we accepted that challenge on a number of occasions, and we just came out on the short end of the stick most times. But, you know, we broke through a few times. But, yeah, we know those defenses back then with Neil Smith and Derek Thomas. You know, a few times we had a game plan where for some reason they would have me blocking Derek Thomas one-on-one. I just never understood that for my life. We tend to protection on the front side of the you know, the formation, and they all let DT come off the backside, and I have to go block him. And I'm like, I don't know if that was a good idea, coach. And so I got embarrassed a few times. I got him once or twice, but it wasn't consistent, you know, enough for them to be putting me on Derek Thomas, man. But there were fun battles back then.
I mean, that's a tough assignment for anybody. Right now we're talking to Terrell Davis, two-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Offensive Player of the Year, also in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I have a really tough read on this Broncos team. I know they're 6-5. They're over 500. But, I mean, these last 2 weeks is sort of hard to understand them. They beat the Chargers, and they win pretty convincingly with the defense. But then the week prior to that, they lost 30-13 to the Philadelphia Eagles. How good do you think this Broncos team is?
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head that, you know, here in Denver, you got to have this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde team that you watch them roll off three straight games beginning of the season. And of course, the competition, you know, they can point to the teams they played and kind of understand how they were able to get off that 3-0 start. But then, you know, they start to falter. You know, they lose to the really good teams. And then, you like you point back to, you know, a couple of weeks before that, they go on this run where, you know, they beat the Washington football team. They go to Dallas. And, I mean, they don't win the game. They embarrass the Cowboys. Then they come home and they lose to the Eagles. And then, obviously, last week they were able to really dominate the Chargers. So they're a good team when I think a few things happen. One, if they can get off to a good start. You know, if they get off to a start where they're not down in a game, they tend to play better. For some reason, when they get down early in the game, they tend to just get off the game plan. They'll stop running the football. They'll start, you know, making mistakes. You know, Teddy starts to take more sacks, and it sounds like, you know, it seems like he wants to try to press the ball more, or at least try to make things happen. But, you know, when they're able to come out and either the game is tied or they're up, then everything is functioning. They run the football a lot more. You know, last week they ran the ball 33 times. When they played the Cowboys, they ran it 41 times. And when this team runs the ball, they got two really good running backs. I mean, you're talking about Javonte Williams is a stud. And they just have to commit more to getting him the ball more. And then, of course, Melvin Gordon, who played in this division with the Chargers, I mean, he's also, man, playing really well. So if they can run the offense through that running game and then have the complementary pieces with Teddy Bridgewater in the passing game, they're tough out. And their defense, man, the last couple of weeks, they've been playing well. And I don't know if it coincided with the trade, you know, when they got Kenny Young, the linebacker squad, it's really looking like they got a lot of guys who are just flying around right now. You know, there's not a lot of big names that you would point to and say, okay, I know those guys, you know, but they're certainly being very active when you watch them on tape. And Bradley Chubb came back last week, you know, obviously wasn't the rush in that they're used to having. But I think his presence is going to be felt as they go forward. You know, Patrick Surtain, the rookie, he's looking really good at two picks last week. So, yeah, I mean, they could be really good. I think from a defensive standpoint, it's really their defense keeping a team under a certain point total, which gives them a chance.
Right now, we're talking to Terrell Davis, Hall of Fame running back. You played your entire career in Denver. Your Hall of Fame quarterback teammate, Elway, he did the same. Von Miller, I'm sure you would have loved for him to play his entire career in Denver. That's not the way that it ended. What has it been like the last couple of weeks knowing that you guys traded away, knowing that you lost a future Hall of Fame outside linebacker?
Yeah, it's been kind of a mixed bag, to be honest with you. You know, there's people who have this kind of loyalty to Von, since he's been here his entire career, that they're, you know, a little upset that he was traded. But then you have people who understand that, hey, listen, you know, Von has not been Von of, you know, let's say 2015 or, you know, Super Bowl MVP type Von Miller. So I think it's kind of a mixed bag. And then the result of what's happened since Von has left, it's really been kind of good. It's almost like kind of been refreshing to have Von. I'm not saying this is what everybody feels, but there's been some sentiment that now that Von is out there, some of these younger players are able to kind of, you know, blossom a little bit, you know, where they're not always being led by, you know, Von Miller or influenced by him. And so having him out the building, you're starting to see these young players really starting to get their chance to play. And like I said, man, they're doing pretty damn good. So it's you wouldn't even think that the way they're playing that they're missing Von Miller, to be honest with you. And then, of course, you know, Von in L.A., you know, he's not done much since he's been there. So I think some people are like, okay, you see, that's why we traded Von.
Last question here, Terrell, and we really appreciate your time. I have to ask you about the Chiefs Hall of Fame quarterback. We mentioned it earlier. You played with one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the league in John Elway. I remember talking to a former Chiefs player, Bill Moss, and he told me that the NFL legend that Patrick Mahomes most reminded him of was John Elway. When you watch Mahomes play, do you see a lot of similarities between him and Elway?
I think there is. I think you can see. You know, Mahomes is a unique quarterback, and he's got probably a couple of quarterbacks that come to mind. You think about Brett Favre a little bit, how Brett was, you know, he would take chances and the type of throws he would make. You definitely have to throw John into that equation with John's ability to be able to run and then throw on the run, you know, kind of that gutsy type quarterback, you know, mentality. So the dude is, he's unique, but he definitely reminds us all of some of the greats that we've seen and played with. He's a different talent, man, and that keeps you up at night if you're a defensive coordinator, if you Vic Fangio and trying to figure out how do we approach this. You know, you see some teams trying to approach him with this, let's back off and make him be patient down the field. Some say, all right, let's just try to pressure him and hopefully we can keep, you know, we can maintain a hold up on the back end. I don't know what Denver's game plan is going to be for this week, but definitely when you face a guy that I think we all, it's safe to say, unless there's something that drastically happens, that 15 will be in the Hall of Fame one day. You definitely got to prepare and look at every single, you know, scenario on how you can slow down 15. If you can slow him down, I think you got a really good chance of beating him.
And that is the Hall of Famer, Terrell Davis, a two-time Super Bowl champion, 1998 NFL MVP. He also won Offensive Player of the Year in 96 and 98. And again, he is inducted into Canton, Ohio. Terrell, man, it was an honor to have you join us today on the show. Thanks a lot for hopping on.
Hey, my pleasure, man.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.